Howdy, hello, and welcome to episode 49 of Fat Love Talk. Today on the podcast, we're doing something that I've been kind of thinking about doing for a while now, but turning 26 this past week, I decided there's no better time than the present. I listened recently to a podcast called the Work in Progress podcast. It's a podcast that Andy Mineo has been doing in an effort to commercially release, you know, songs or records that he had never considered releasing because of this or that reason. And he's done four releases now, which means four episodes of the Work in Progress podcast, which is a more in-depth behind-the-scenes conversation regarding that album and the reasons behind why it wasn't released and why this or that scenario came up. I digress. The reason why I want to break down this podcast today on my episode of Fat Love Talk is because his new record called 1988, which is the year he was born, he turned 30. He was just talking a lot about life and aging and getting older, and it, more so than the song itself, which is great, by the way. Go check that out. And I'll see if I can add that to the end of this podcast, possibly. But it made me think, man, I just turned 26, and while it's not the end of the world, I'm just another year older, and we're all gravitating a certain direction, you know, universally, I just thought there were some interesting points to bring up. So I wanted to break down his podcast and kind of talk about my feelings and thoughts regarding that. So let's go ahead and just jump into it, guys.
Phone and never gotten back to them. And so what I'm realizing more and more over time is, like, there's so many songs, so many beautiful ideas that I've missed and have the world has missed the opportunity for me to share them because I wrote them down and just said I'll get to them later, as opposed to just moving on it immediately when the inspiration hits. Like, I got songs for my wedding that never came out, you know, and that's 5 years later. Yeah. And I just wish, man, I wish I would have put out those songs, those feelings that were on my heart at the time. So I was 29, my birth.
Okay, so we're going to do some breaks and kind of jump in with some dialogue here while we listen to this. And I'm not going to listen to the whole podcast. Go ahead and check out the episode yourself if you'd like to. It's a great, great listen, guys. But regarding what he just said, a lot of the times you'll write something down, or like me personally, you know, this is the Fat Love Talk podcast. Well, we've already discussed where Fat Love came from. It stemmed from a conversation with friends of mine in high school. I was making some beats. I was making some you know, silly, you know, rhymes, some lyrics, maybe, possibly. And we sat down and we thought, let's make this Fat Love. And I loved it. I liked it. I am larger. I'm fat, but I'm cool. So it's P-H-A-T, right? And it kind of fell together, and it worked out really brilliantly. And as I've gotten older, I've really fallen behind the idea that I love writing. If I was asked recently by my friend Jennifer, she asked me, right now, what is something you would love to get paid to do, like over anything else? And I didn't really have to think about it. I've always loved writing. I've always loved creating stories or music or something along those lines. I'm very, very creative in that aspect. I get that from my mom's side of the family. My oldest brother is a baller poet. Like, it's just, there's this creative gene that keeps getting passed down, but none of us are using it. I've always felt like I've had a purpose with that, and I've never done anything with it. So here he's saying he would sit on things for, you know, 5 years and never release it, and that's exactly what I've done. I've sat on so many, you know, potential projects or records or stories, you know, books, maybe even at the end of the day, stuff that I have let sit on a hard drive that I've never finished, that I let myself get rusty in the area of, and it just, it sucks. And I really wish that I could kind of get better at that part. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy.
Used to it, and I loved it. And what's weird is about SoundCloud is it kind of stays in its own, like, little separate world sometimes, and, you know, fans sometimes don't even know that stuff exists. So now we're getting a chance to release it commercially on DSP, so it's out now with this
you
podcast.
Listen to it right now, actually.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk real quick about this because I've never used my SoundCloud. I've never used it. But it's like one of these things where, like, the community for SoundCloud is so separate from a lot of other parts of the world, and it's just like, maybe if I would start utilizing the tools that I have, I might start gaining some traction. But it all starts with me at the end of the day, right? So it's just something that I wanted to kind of bring up that he had mentioned, because he did release it on SoundCloud, but now he's changed up the beat and he's added a few extra things. Now, I'm not going to have this exact. Let's move on to the next one.
In my life, and I process things, and I think I'm good at that, like thinking through things and trying to find the purpose and the meaning and that. And a lot of times, the only people that benefit from that are my friends who get to hear my combos, you know? Where I actually, you know, these are some of the weird thoughts of an artist. Like, people who don't have friends might be better artists because they only have their music to put that stuff in.
Right, right.
Where I end up processing a lot of my... I'm not saying that's like a... it's just a funny thought. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe if you don't have anybody to talk to, all you do is talk to people in your music, and people are like, yes.
Yeah.
But I actually talk through the most deep, meaningful, hard things with people in real life. So sometimes when it comes to creating music, I don't always feel the need to bring it in. And so I have to remind myself, like, oh, this is beneficial for people. I should probably put these thoughts down. And
that is exactly one of the things I have had the problem with. I always feel exactly that same way. Like, maybe I don't need to write things down, but I'm kind of in the opposite boat as Andy. I'm very happy that he has somebody to talk to, because in my life, I don't really have anybody that I can talk to about my emotions or my feelings. I mean, I do have a couple people, and I've begun to start trusting a few people. It's just one of those things where your life kind of goes in a direction you don't always plan for it to, and things happen, and then barriers get built around your heart. It's not like I want that to be there. I want to have a very open relationship with a lot of people, but it's just hard to figure out who kind of deserves that trust, who kind of deserves that vulnerability. You know what I'm saying? And I definitely can relate to Andy in that sense where, you know, you kind of sit on stuff.
You know, I just realize more and more as an artist, man, like, if you don't move on it when the emotion or the feeling or the momentum is there, you're probably never going to come back to it.
Yep.
And that's just, like, this really sad reality that I'm, like, living with, like, okay, we got to do it now.
And that is so true. You know how many times, like, okay, you heard my true life story last episode about Megan. Seriously, don't fraternize with any Megans in Excelsior Springs. I'm not even joking about that. But I digress. I have had so many experiences that have left me emotionally drained, emotionally broken, emotionally just in a bad headspace. And I've written about it. I've written down songs, lyrics, poems, stories. I've just written, not for any particular reason at all. And I've just gotten out how I feel. But I never move on it after that. And the sad reality is, oh my God, like, I'll go back to old notebooks and I'll see all these lyrics and I'll faintly remember the beat I had in my head while I was trying to write that. And I'm just like, I was so broken when I wrote this. I was in a bad headspace. They had broken my heart, or I was shattered, or I was just mentally not there. And I was just letting that flow onto the paper, and I never acted on it. And the sad truth is, I don't know that I can go back and recreate that emotion and finish those songs or stories. And it's one of those things where it's just like, the truth of the matter is, I am my own worst enemy here. Because I mean, it sucks, you know, when you're broken and when you feel that way, but at the same time, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, gosh.
Let's just put them out, man. Like, let's not let those things die on a hard drive. So, yeah, the inspiration was turning 30. That's such a milestone, man. That's like, yo, I'm leaving my 20s. Like, and your 20s, especially in culture, are glorified as this, like, this is the peak of creativity. This is the peak of sexiness, your physical appearance, all that stuff. And,
And I understand I'm not turning 30, so his is a little bit skewed. I just wanted to give my perspective on his feelings about a lot of stuff, because I do kind of feel a lot of the same ways. But yeah, it's like when I turned 26, I was having this moment where I was like, what have I done with my time? 26 years. That's 2.5 decades. I'm working on the last half of my third decade on this planet. And what have I done to contribute? What have I done to make it better? Whose lives have I impacted? Like, truly impacted. I'm not talking about a fight I had with somebody in high school and now there's a chip on their shoulder when they're, 26. I'm talking about, truly when we are all gone. In 100 years, when we're all gone, the next people who live beyond us are here. What did I do to contribute to them? And it's just, I'm having these thoughts where it's just like, I want not to be remembered, but to be at least recognized as somebody who did good. I don't want to be in a history book. I don't want to be legendary or anything like that, or known because I'm famous or any of that. It's literally, I don't want to die, and just, that's it. My time here was just that. And maybe I'm thinking too much into it, because I am religious, and maybe God's going to come back one day, and the rapture's going to happen, and none of this matters. But what if that doesn't happen for another decade, or two, or three, or beyond that? It could be the year 5260. I could be kicking it in heaven. Hopefully, please, God, take me with you. But I just want to leave some sort of footprint or mark and not do the opposite, where it's just I took up some space, I made some money, I paid some bills, I existed. But then the next person beyond me is taking my spot. You know?
I'm going to hit, you know?
If you're lucky, you'll be an oboe.
Yeah.
Oboe.
Well, that's the first line of the song where it was like, I told my mama, I wish that I could stop it.
Yeah.
She's like, what's your other option? You either in the grave or you get another year, so be happy that, blow these candles out, just be happy that you're here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, getting older can feel whack, I don't want to leave my youth. But the other option is what?
What else is there?
What else is there?
What else is there?
You can only get older.
That's it.
And
that right there, that is exactly what I was talking about. I don't want to just get older. And yeah, getting older is kind of whack. But at the same time, it's like when you sit down. I mean, I'm talking sit your butt down and you stare at the wall and you close your eyes and you think about your existence. Come on, man. It's like, what is it?
So I'm finding better perspective now through it, but
there's a perspective that I got. Like you said, 18 was freedom, right? 21 was freedom with benefits. It's like, oh, I can do something with this freedom. 25, I was like, oh, I can really rent a car. We about to go out of town with this freedom. It was all these milestones, right? And then 30 came, and I was like, this is cool, but I don't know how to feel for real. All the good days, are they gone now? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And I had no...
And that's exactly how it is. Like when I reach 30, I have all these goals. And we're going to get into that in a second here, because there's actually a section that talks about goals. I have all these goals and dreams and ambitions buried inside of me, buried beneath the surface. And they're clawing up, trying to reach any morsel of sunlight they can get to grow. But all that happens is just the dry sun hardens the ground above any of that. So there's no soft soil to claw your way through. They're just stuck. And it's just crazy.
and I talked to a friend of mine in Memphis, and he said, the 20s is the age where you think you know it all. 30s are the age where you feel the pressure to match what you said you knew. And then 40s is the age where you realize, I'm good. I'm just going to figure it out and make it happen. Yeah. And he said a lot of his peers...
Okay, I want to stop right there and say, the 20s, I have noticed, have gotten a lot better than the teens. Hand over fist. Like, very, very, very better. Less drama. I've learned in my time, you know, the 6 years I've been in my 20s, drama is just so not worth getting involved in. People who involve themselves in drama don't have a lot going for them personally because they're too involved in somebody else or some other situation. I just can't see myself being that person. I had friends that I really enjoyed, but they were always involved in drama, which sucked me into that drama, and it's just not worth my time if I'm not getting anything out of that relationship except for that. And in my 30s, I hope to have grown from my 20s into somebody who is knowledgeable and not wise per se, but like who knows a thing or two and can live up to the standards I set for myself in my 20s. You know, and we'll get into more of that later again, but like it's crazy to think that there are all these times when I've thought I knew something, but I didn't. It's just crazy.
I have a story. Is that what you were hitting at? I have a story of how, like... So let me tell this story. It might take a second, but... So, yo, at 29, I was doing, I think, the Friends and Family Tour. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think I had maybe just turned 29... Something like that. And like, yo, I was having all these like thoughts about life. When my mom was alive, she told me like 30 that the same thing happened to her. She was like, man, it was a really weird time because you're leaving your 20s. And so she was like, nah, Andy, that's normal. Like to feel this fear of the next stage of life. Mm-hmm. But I had all these like existential thoughts. Like I was having these moments where I was going, yo, not only are we here for a blip of time, but in a lot of ways, it almost doesn't even matter. And like, so this, that can sound messed up unless I explain it, but I'm like, I use this example. I said, there's a TV hanging up right here. Who invented the television? Danny, y'all know?
Bob Television. Just brother said Bob.
Nobody in here, even the producers, nobody knows.
Television, anybody?
Listen, nobody in this room.
Sam Song. It's not bad.
That's a good one.
This man is crazy.
Here's the crazy piece, right? Nobody in this room knows who invented the television, but we have one every single place that we go. We got air conditioning going on in here. Nobody knows who that guy is. There's a refrigerator over there. There's these lights. There's all these things that we get to benefit from in this world right now. And we have no idea even who these people were, but they made monumental contributions to the world. Yeah. And now they're already forgotten.
Already gone.
And so what makes me think that I won't be forgotten just like everybody else? Mm-hmm. And I referenced the Beatles in that record. I said, remember the time the Beatles said they're more famous than Jesus?
Yeah.
I think it's funny, because some people didn't know who Paul McCartney was till he made a song with Yeezus, but millions still gather on Sunday. Yo, I saw comments when Kanye dropped that record, 4, 5 seconds, right? Yep. And people were like, who's this Paul McCartney
who
guy?
Is he?
He's about to blow up now that he's doing a record with Kanye.
Yeah.
And I'm like, isn't this funny? Just 40 years ago, 50 years ago, this guy was the biggest thing in the world, and now some people have no idea who he is.
No clue, bro.
So that...
That's just crazy to me. I'm going to stop for just a second. That is just crazy to me. Nobody, like, who did invent the television or air conditioning or the refrigerator or microwaves or anything that we use on a daily basis that benefits us? They're leaving a lasting impression, but their name is gone. Their name is no longer, it's in a book somewhere. It's crazy to think that one day, very soon perhaps, we have cars. Who made cars? You could walk outside tomorrow and get hit by one, and that's kaput. Your life is over. What did you do? Your mom is going to be crying at your funeral, but what about afterwards? A year later, 2 years later, a decade later, you're just in the ground in a box, and there's nothing to remember you by except for the people who you loved and who cared about you and who were in your individual life. And it's just, it's such a big topic. It's massive.
All of a sudden made me feel like, dang, my life will definitely be forgotten in some way.
Yeah.
And that was like terrifying and freeing at the same time. It was this weird combination of those things. So, I remember just like...
It's just like... Sure, it can be freeing. I'm going to be gone one day. None of this matters. Why should I sweat the small stuff right now? Why should I sweat the big stuff? If I die, that's it. Like, my troubles are over. If God willing, I did the right stuff on this planet, I go to heaven. All right? That is an upgrade. That's more than an upgrade. That's like penthouse top level service. Like, thank you, God. But at the same time, it's like terrifying because we are mortal. We bleed. We feel pain. We hurt. And I don't want to go through that to get to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
Why do we fight each other?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we mean to each other? Why do we try to one-up each other? Why do we try to steal? I'm like, we're all heading to death. Why don't we just love each other on the way there? Or care for each other. It's like, hey, man, you're heading to the grave just like me.
Mm-hmm.
We might as well enjoy each other, help each other on the mm-hmm. way there. Or you can take a fatalistic view, like, we're all going to die and doesn't matter. I'm going to...
I don't care.
Yeah. So it was just this crazy, like, moment. And so I started...
It's crazy, right? We are all heading the same direction. And I see all these moments where it doesn't matter. And I'm guilty of this myself, okay? I judge people. We're human. We're flawed. We have our problems to work through and to work out. it's part of the human process. Some of us have it worse than others, but we are flawed. And some of us do have that fatalistic point of view where it's just like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Who gives a bleep what this guy thinks or does or says or cares about? And that's why we have such a mixed bag of individuals in the world, because God gave us free will to choose what we want to do with it. It's our life. You want to go out and cure cancer? I mean, I'm sure somebody will do that and they will be remembered for that. But if you want to go out and rob banks and live a life of other decision making, that's completely your choice. I can't say that's right or wrong in any sense. By our standards, we have right and wrong. By my standards, my individual personal standards, what is right and wrong? And that's a whole nother psychological conversation. And ooh, I'd love to break that down. But I do mostly agree with society in terms of what's good and bad. But
reading Ecclesiastes, and the craziest part of it, of reading Ecclesiastes, was this dude's, Solomon, was having the same exact experiences. As you read the passages, he's saying almost the exact same things that I was feeling. I was like, this man knows.
Yes.
He's been there. And he said, yo, I had the baddest women. I had the best food. I had the best clothes. Solomon was known as the richest man in the world, the wisest man in the world. And he was saying the same thing. It's all a vapor.
Yeah,
it's all vanishing, even when you have the greatest of the great.
And that's just the craziest thing. We all want to achieve greatness. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. But I want to achieve greatness. I want to go places with my life. I want to explore the world. I don't want money to be the reason somebody doesn't like me or give me a chance or care about me. I want to remove any and all barriers between me and anybody or anything. I talked about this in my last episode about dating, and that's a really big one. If you're a broke joke, ain't no woman out there gonna want you. Especially the older women that I find myself attracted to, successful, going places, carries himself, is going with goals into the future, wants a life, wants a family, wants success, and goes, achieves it, kills it, gets it. I find myself so attracted to successful people. And I want to be one of them. I want to be a successful person. Yes, by the world standards, I want to be successful. I've already met my own standards. I don't have some high standard for myself, which may or may not be a good or bad thing, but I'm always striving to raise the bar. And I'm finally at a point now that I'm 26, I'm finally at a point where I have to sink or swim. My lease ends at my apartment in the end of the year, and I have to make a move. What's it gonna be? Am I gonna sink or swim? Ain't no chance of going back home. I ain't gonna be no mama's boy for the rest of my life, living at home. That ain't gonna happen. I gotta make some moves. I gotta be successful. I gotta prove myself. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. It's overwhelming at times. Oh my God. At the end of the day, guys, it sucks. Growing older. Getting older. But does it really suck? Because you have all these new opportunities show themselves. And taking it away from that dating comment, I'm going to move forward in something else. Career. You want to have a good one, right? You want to go places. You want to say when somebody asks you, oh, what do you do for work? You don't want to say, oh, yeah, I work this job. I want to tell people what my job is, but I want them to think I have a career. Because I want a career. I don't want a job. I want a career. And that's just the thing, isn't it? That's just the thing. It's we want things and we strive for them. But some of us just lack the motivation or lack the ability to pick themselves up. And the worst part is I've watched my life go by and done nothing about it. I've about to get some deep stuff in here, guys. Okay, real talk. I have gone through a lot of depression early on in my life. I don't have that problem as much right now. When life goes good for me, it seems to vanish, obviously. And in 26 years, I've learned to cope and manage with my depression better. And I'm not at all diagnosed. I'm not. I just get sad. You know, a lot. And when life starts to happen and it gets really overwhelming and it gets really fast and it starts to drown me, I sink. I'm not good at swimming in that terrain, and I want to be better at that. I want to get better at that. But like, I don't want to ask for help because help has a cost associated with it. You ever known that there was an issue and then just totally ignored it because you knew that if you acknowledged that you had an issue and you acknowledged that you had to fix it, that would be it. That would be it. And you'd have to pay for that. You'd have to acknowledge that. I don't want to acknowledge that. I don't.
Started having this panic attack, and I text my boy, and he said to me just one of the things that was the most like calming thing to me. He said, man, if we didn't have death, we wouldn't know how precious each breath was. Mm-hmm. Like, death is the reminder that the moment that we have right now is so good.
Yeah.
And that it's so valuable, but we take it for granted. So like, if you know it's coming, like this moment right now means literally the world. And
And I've tried so hard to live my life by this standard that every moment matters. You know, when I'm with someone, I try to make that count. And it comes across kind of the wrong way a lot of the times. Like, I want to go to a movie with my friend because I don't mind seeing movies by myself, but I know that I like seeing movies with people because that's a social interaction that could mean something. And I love people. I love my friends. I do. I really love my friends, and I really want to invest in them. I really want to get to know them and share life with them. And so I always think I don't necessarily think about this per se, about death and about every moment matters, you need to make them count, because I've had several arguments with my friends. I've had several disagreements with my friends, and I've let the good moments slip to the side while there are bad ones. We all have, but I live generally with the mindset that I don't want confrontation. I don't want friction. I want a smooth, cohesive experience. And I want to give it to my friends any way possible.
We were actually in New York when it was still the Best Buy theater.
Yeah.
And we were walking around before the show, and somebody stopped. It was me and Cray and Tripp, and somebody stopped us and was like, "Hey, are y'all on the sports team? Do y'all play sports?" And we were like, "No, we don't do that." And they were like, "Oh, okay, we're just wondering." And then one guy said, "No, I know your face." To Cray, you're famous. And he was like, "Nah, none of us are famous, man. Watch this." And he stopped like 10 people. "Hank, do you know who Lecrae is? Do you know who Triple is? Do you know who Andy Mineo is? Do you know who Tadashi is?" And these people just kept going by like, nah, excuse me. Trying to get somewhere. "No, I don't know. And then it turned back and it was like, "Hey, man, see?" And just kind of moved on. And I remember thinking like, man, that's really how life is going to be for most people. Like, you're here and then you're gone, and only the people nearest to you knew you. And so the pressure came, like you said, of, well, what's my contribution going to be? What am I going to be known for, remembered for? And then it hit me.
And that is the million-dollar question that I've been talking about right there.
Or when I was like, but I don't even remember my great-grandfather's name.
Straight up.
Like, I'm here worried about contributions for my name's sake, and I'm like, I don't even remember my own blood relic. I'm here because of them, and I don't even remember their name. I know little to nothing. It's...
That right there hit a chord with me. That right there hit a chord with me, guys. I don't remember. I mean, I love my dad. I loved him so much, and it gets to a point where I'll forget about him sometimes. I was on Facebook earlier this week on the 24th of July, the day that my dad passed away, 4 days after my birthday. Mind you, 4 days after my birthday, my dad passed away. And my mom had posted on Facebook a post about my dad saying that she missed him and loved him, and I forgot, guys. I totally forgot that my dad passed away on the 24th of July, and I felt like such a terrible person in that moment. I was like, oh shit, I forgot about my father. And I wanted to turn back time and remember and acknowledge that and be thankful for the time I had with him. And I lived to 20. I don't even remember what day of the week 24th was, but I treated it like a new day, like any other day in the world. And I didn't even acknowledge the fact that it was a day of significance in my life. It was the day that I lost the first person in my life that I was close to, that I cared about, that I loved. See, I didn't know my grandparents. I didn't know any of them, really. I wasn't close to my grandma on my dad's side, who's the only grandparent I got a chance to really know. in my life, I had seen other grandparents, but never known other grandparents. And even when my grandma died on my dad's side, I didn't cry. I didn't know what was going on. I was still young. But I was in my 20s when my dad passed away. I was devastated. I was bawling. I was a wreck. And then flash forward a couple of years, and it's just like a new day. It's like another day. It's like it doesn't even matter anymore. I think my dad's going to be forgotten when I'm gone, when my family is gone. And that terrifies me because he meant a lot to me. And it's crazy. It's so crazy to think that your existence is so insignificant to some people, to most people, outside of like 20 or 30 people. It's crazy.
That helped me wrestle well with this. It was a phrase that a buddy of mine shared called prolonged adolescence, right? Like for me, and this is just me walking through my own life, everybody has their own experiences, but for me, growing up without a lot of male role models, without someone to really kind of lead and direct and guide me in my adolescent years, I found myself in my 20s still living like a teenager without a lot of direction and aspiration beyond what I was given through television, film, culture, you know, and the close friends I had at the time. And so in those...
That right there hits the nail on the head, guys. I loved my dad. I loved him so much. I miss him every day. But I loved him so much because he was never there. Growing up, he drove a truck. He was on the road, gone 3 weeks, home for a couple days. Gone 3 weeks, home for a couple of days. For a brief stint, I was homeschooled, which threw me back a year. But I was with him for a little while. And I had a lot of really good moments with my dad in the time he was here. But he was gone 90% of the time. God, he was there. I was raised by my mom, lived with my sister. My older brothers hated my dad and got the heck out of Dodge while they could. I didn't have male role models when I grew up. I didn't have anybody. I'm not going to talk to my mom about stuff. I'm not going to talk to my sister about stuff. When I'm a kid, I didn't care about opening up to them. As an adult, I realized maybe there are some changes I could have made that would have been healthier for my development and growth, but if you follow me on Snapchat, you know I've talked about, and I've mentioned on my podcast a few times, I can't cook. I want to cook. And not just because I want to impress the ladies, okay? Yeah, sure, that would be great to say, oh, hey, I can make this, you know, I can do this for you. That'd be awesome. But more than that, deeper, if you dig down to the root source, it's because I want to be self-sufficient, and I want to be valuable. If I can't make a cheeseburger, or I can't make spaghetti for God's sakes, if I can't make the most basic of meals, if I'm always eating out, or buying food, or just destroying my body because I don't know how to do any other process, because that's how I've lived my life, that's how I grew up. My mom made food, sure. Not all the time, though. Not often. I've been fat my whole life, guys. I have been fat for as long as I can remember. There's never been a day in my life I haven't been fat. And I've accepted that, but I also spent many years wrestling with that and telling myself that because of my weight, I wasn't enough. But the way to fix that, I didn't have the toolkit. You see where I'm going here? It's my dad was a cook in the Navy for the head chef. He was the head chef for the captain, or so he told me. Okay, that's what he told me. So why didn't my pops, when he came home, teach me anything? And I understand he was only home for a few days. He wanted to eat out. He wanted to go out with his family. He wanted to enjoy life. But he could have done all of that and taught me how to do a few things. Instead of just saying, hey, grade this block of cheese. And I'm still growing with that. I've learned new recipes. I'm continuing to evolve. And I feel like in my 26th year, I want to become a decent cook. And I'm on the fast track there because I have the motivation to do it. It's just utilizing that.
I grew up with ideas written down like, yo, when I get this age, I'll be this. Yeah. I'll be married or I'll have kids.
Yeah.
And then I hit that age and I was like, I'm not married yet. But if I went after marriage because it's on my paper, then I'd have ruined somebody's life.
Right.
So I was grateful at that moment that I had the wherewithal to go, not ready for this. Let me chill. We'll come back to this.
Yeah.
But I just knew for myself, I'm going to end up in a place far worse if I try.
Yes, yes, yes. Here's one of the big points I wanted to bring up. I'm turning 26. Nay, scratch that. I am 26. It's almost August in a couple of days. I've been 26 for a week now. I'm single. That's not a bad thing. It's the fact. I always thought, I pictured in my mind, let's open up the brain, I pictured in my mind, by 25, I was going to have been in a long-time relationship with my girlfriend, whoever she is, been living together with her, been comfortable enough to talk about marriage. I make these jokes, and I'm half serious. I don't want kids. But I know I will have kids probably one day with the right woman who I love greatly and I want to have a family with. But it's a struggle because when you're 26 and you're single, and there are much older people who are single, and I get it, I'm on a soapbox right now, but hear me out. My longest relationship, like I've stated in the past, was 9 months with my first relationship in high school, my senior year. She was everything to me. I experienced love for the first time with her. I experienced a lot of things with her for the first time. And when that was gone, and I tried to find that again, life really started to kick in. And I found somebody who only used me for the summer. I found somebody who used me for a weekend. I found somebody who only wanted this or that. And then I found people who I felt bad about not being interested in, and they were really into me. And so I had to end that relationship. And I felt like a shitbag because I had to break up with them. And I've experienced so much. And now I'm in a place where I'm like, if I haven't been in a long-term relationship by 26, who's going to want me? Obviously, there's something wrong with me. Obviously, I am flawed. And I'm not going to be enough for somebody. I'm a great friend. Oh, I have heard that so many times from women. You are a great guy. You're going to find somebody. It's just not going to be me. I'm not interested. It's a no for me. The red X. I've heard that so many times. I already know that I'm a great guy. And I'm great at being a good friend. I try so hard. I invest everything into my friendships. More than I should. I get deeply invested. Because I don't want anything to fall apart, albeit a relationship or a friendship. And so when I am with somebody and they say, oh, I only like you as a friend, I'm sorry. That hurts, sure. But that doesn't mean we're gonna be friends. It doesn't mean we're gonna just have a lasting relationship in that zone. It means they're moving on. And I should too. And I get that. It's life. It's part of dating. It's part of existing. It's part of developing and networking and making friendships and relationships that can be cultivated or not. But it's crazy that I had this list. This I wanted to be married by the time I was 27, 28. Right? Because that's normal. But financially, I don't know that I could afford that. And if I doubt myself, why would anybody want somebody who doubts themselves? You know? And there are always exceptions to the rule, but I think God looks at me from up high and he knows what's coming in the future. And I'm convinced it has to be something great. But getting there is so stressful. And God knows me better than I know myself. But I will tell you this, guys, I have struggled and struggled and struggled with patience. I don't like waiting. I hate waiting. It's the worst. So when somebody, I talk to somebody and we're kicking it, or I meet somebody online or in person and we hit it off, you gotta be patient. You have to be. I can come on a little strong. And I know that. And that's not just in relationships. I'm talking about just normal friend conversations, talking to coworkers, etc. I've had to distance myself recently from my coworkers because I feel like I've been there for 2 years. They know who I am already, and my personality is starting to come out a lot more. But I shouldn't engage too much. Because at the end of the day, it's still work. And my friend Tyler, he tells me, work is separate from life. You don't make friends with people at work. You don't go out with people from work. They're there strictly as a coworker so you can make money. So you can pay your bills. He never, ever, ever wants to make friends with people at work, with people that he doesn't know. He's content with who he has and what he has, as far as I know. Now, if we were doing a deep dive and he were here, maybe we could, dig deeper into that. But that's just from my knowledge as his friend. And I can understand that, but this past weekend, I went out with two of my coworkers. We went to Updown in Kansas City. We went to a arcade bar. I had a great time. I had a blast. Albeit bars aren't my scene. They added what I do enjoy, games and stuff, and they added that with the bar, and I felt more comfortable. And I enjoyed that. And I was talking to my coworker, I was texting him, and I was like, "Hey, I had a good time. Thanks for coming out. I appreciate it." And he was like, "Yeah, next time let's go to a club, LOL." And I'm like, "Bro, I don't know that I can go to a club." Look, I'm gonna be honest with you guys, by the way. Side note, okay? I've never been to a club. I've never been to I've been to a bar a couple of times. I've never been to a big bar. I've never been to a strip club. I've never been to a nightclub. I've never been to any of this stuff. Okay, I don't really socialize well in those situations. I feel uncomfortable. I feel out of my element. And people who think you should break out of your shell, quote unquote. I mean, I'm comfortable with what I like. I know what I like. I'm 26. I mean, why should I expand my horizons in that section of the world when I know I don't usually go out of my way for that? I don't know. That's just a random thought.
Force the process. And I had to be honest, and a lot of friends that I have that I've had conversations with, we've had the discussions about prolonged adolescence or with not having examples of people who grew older, who we could look to pull from. And so there are these moments where you kind of go, well, I got to kind of wing it and figure it out. So for me at my age now, I'm going, there's still some winging it a little bit, but it's not aimless.
Right.
It's definitely not aimless. Before, I think it was winging it, and there was not really an aim other than what the day brought me. But but now I'm like, no, there's got to be an aim, because like, I mean, we're not here forever. You know, it's not given, bro.
Let me know if you guys relate to this.
And that's a very, very good point. I have learned as I've gotten older that there needs to be structure. You know, back in, it's funny because you're in high school and you have a schedule you have to follow. You have this class at this time, this class at this time, lunch at this time. You have to learn to follow that and be good about managing your time. And then you graduate high school and the whole world is your oyster. Are you going to college? Are you getting a job? Are you moving out? Are you going to do this or that or get married and start a family? Anything can happen. And I was so structured in high school, and I loved it. Maybe not at the time, maybe not realizing it, but looking back, oh my God, what a life. I knew what I was doing at this time to this time. I knew what I was doing after that. I had a setup. And now, as an adult, you have to literally make yourself do something. Well, you're just not going to do it. You're just not going to do it. And that is the craziest thing. Like right now, my schedule changed for work. So I no longer work in the evening till late. I now get off way earlier when the sun is still out. I didn't want that shift because it changed my whole system. But as I did it for a week, I realized, well, hey, wait a minute. A lot of places are still open when I get off work. I could do stuff. I could maybe make plans, dinner plans. Maybe this will be better for my romantic life. Maybe this will be better for my health. Maybe this will be better for my social life. Or hell, maybe it'll be better for me and my brother to bond on our PlayStations when he's in Tulsa and I'm in Kansas City, and we can talk more. Maybe it's not so bad. The only reason I didn't want to lose the shift I had was because I gained a 10% shift differential to my paycheck, which I'm losing now, which is sad. It sucks. I do not like that. But maybe losing that couple of $100 and in return getting more free time, is that worth it? That's up for us to decide, right? Individually. And for me, maybe actually it is. Because I can still work overtime. I can still make up that money while also not giving up my free time during the week or even on the weekend. It's crazy, guys. It's a lot to process.
This is something I found in myself. I found that I took a lot of pride in being the youngest person in the room.
Yeah.
And being the one that is surrounded by older people, I've had like things that I was doing for work before. I was literally the youngest and like the top like salesperson.
Yeah, that's a badge of honor.
Yeah, I just wanted to do this real quick. I have always been the youngest, except for my sister, but I've been the youngest boy. I have three older brothers. All right, we share the same mom, not the same dad, but that doesn't matter. They're my family, and I love them. I have three brothers. They're all older than me. And I've kind of been trying to live up to this standard. They're older, and they're doing a lot with their life. I need to be equally as successful if I'm going to be their equal. I don't want them to think lesser than. I don't want them to think less of me. And I've had this conversation with my oldest brother, who lives in Tulsa, because we have that way to talk through our PlayStations and a chat party. I've had this conversation with him, and he loves me no matter what. He's proud of me. No matter what. And you know what? I'm going to get emotional. Jesus Christ. That means the world to me, guys. Like, is it to hear that? To know that even if you don't make the minimum of your successful requirements, you're still enough for some people, and you're always going to be because you're family, and they and that meant the world to me, and that really brought my head into perspective, because I want to be. I'm the youngest brother, and I've never related to my brothers, because they've always been older and they were gone before I was really growing up. So we don't really have a lot in common or a lot to connect with. And I've been trying very, very hard to reach a level of success where I stick out to them, where I'm like, oh, my brother's actually, he's doing pretty good for himself. Maybe I can invest in him a little bit. Maybe I could get to know him better or something, you know, because life gets crazy, and my brothers don't live in town. I have a brother in Oklahoma, a brother in St. Louis, I have a brother in Arkansas. I don't have my brothers close by. I mean, a few hour drive, sure, but at the same time, it's like we can't just go out on a Friday night, like we live close in the same city. And I'm trying very hard to get myself to a place where I can afford to have time off to go and invest in them and invest in that. And there's a lot of obstacles in there. There's a lot of obstacles in there, but I always question if I'm enough. But when my oldest brother, when he told me that I would always be enough, that was it, man. That was, I felt so accepted, and that was great. That was a good feeling, and I know that my other brothers love me very much. I know that they do, albeit how they show it in different ways, but I know that they love me and care about me, and maybe I'm not on their mind every day or every week or frequently, but I know that at Christmas this year, I'm going to my brother in Arkansas, and I'm going to see him, and I had a great time a couple years back when we did that, and I really feel like over the last couple years, I've gotten, you know, 24, 25, 26, I feel like I'm getting closer to some of my family, my brothers especially, not so much my family, to be honest with you. My family is split amongst themselves, and there's a whole nother podcast about that, but my brother specifically, my sister and I get along great when we're not living together, when we're separated, which is normal. There's this friction. She's a year younger than me. We grew up together. Me and my sister have known each other our whole lives. And I've hated her, and I've loved her, and she's hated me, and she's loved me. And that was the relationship that I grew up with, having a younger sister who's basically your age. She goes to your school with you. She rides the bus with you. My mom and dad were like, you take care of your sister. Right, you take care of her. Don't let nobody pick on her or anything. You know, I was there in those moments. And albeit I've been a bad brother a lot of the time growing up, but in our recent years, in our adult years, I feel like me and my sister have really hit a stride where, like, we get along well and we are doing good together. And I really, really like that. I really do. I love that, actually. I want to have a good relationship with my family, my most immediate family. Aunts and uncles and cousins and whatnot are great. I'm not close to any of them. In fact, I barely talk to any of them. But my brothers and my sister and my mom, those are the ones that really, really matter. That was a crazy tangent, guys. I'm sorry. Let's get back to this.
I'm just like, man, there's definitely that reality that we're not raised to think. And then on top of that, it's hard to see, because in your youth, there are so many fascinating things. There are these things that you see that are phenomenal about life, but you end up realizing real quick, this is a different season now. I gotta adjust. So I just went to go see you.
And that's the thing, right? You have to adjust to every season in your life. I love that he brought that up, because it makes you really think about it. Like, life is going to have its adjustment periods. You know, when you're 15 and you're just going to school, doing your work, kicking it with your friends on a weekend, being a rapscallion. You know, it's not the same as when you're 25, a decade later, and you gotta make your commitment to work. You have to pay your bills. You have to, you know, pay attention to your health. You have to do all these things that you didn't have to worry about. And on that last note, I have neglected my health for years. I've known actively still to this day that something is probably wrong with me. Maybe not like my personality or something. There's nothing wrong there, but like there are little things like this is an odd one, guys. It's gonna sound weird, okay? But like my left big toe. When I was in high school, in my sleep, I kicked a table and my toenail just. It was gone. Like, it came off my foot. Like, it was bad. It was really, really painful. And it never grew back the same. And I've had a lot of foot pain since then. Like, especially on that toenail. It's incredibly painful. And I've had gout, mostly in my left foot, and a few other issues. And I've just ignored it. And I've ignored it. And I've ignored it. But it's getting to a point where I should probably go to a doctor and get that handled. And there are other things too, other small things or big things or maybe not so much in the middle there, but you have to really start taking care of yourself. In each season of your life, you have to recognize and adapt to that. Because it's going to keep going on with or without you, like straight up.
Managed by their boys. And I was reading an article that some managers are like 16, 15, and like lawyers are having a hard time dealing with them or whatever. Yeah. Because it's like these 15-year-old artists managed by like 15-year-old kids. And like, I haven't come across this, but like, yeah. You know, now you gotta deal with them. You know what I'm saying? And being like.
Sometimes it feels like that.
Sometimes it feels like
we're dealing.
You're still dealing with a
15. They're like, 15? No,
but you 48. Know, this what? Is like a young boy's what? Game, and if you're like, if you're a rapper and you're like 30, people are like, "Oh, dude, you're done." Like,
right there, guys, right there. The world loves young people, but I'm 26. And Fat Love hasn't dropped even so much as a tease of an EP or a single or a record or anything. I have tried so hard to grow what I have, but I'm not growing what I am. I'm not creating. I've turned Fat Love from a serious idea that I had to become an artist or to become a writer of some kind, and I've made that more of like a nickname. For myself. I go, hey, what up, Fat Love? How you doing? Oh, what's up, Fat? How you doing? I'm like, I'm doing good, thanks. What's up? You know? That's great, guys. That's great. That's awesome. I love that. But I want people to say, yo, Fat, what's up? I heard your new single. It was fire, bro. I downloaded it off iTunes. It's great. When's the next one popping? And I was just like, I should be doing that already. I should be creating. I should be making something happen. I'm working on it. Or so I say. What am I doing? Not a gosh darn thing. Ooh, I almost slipped up there, guys. I'm trying not to cuss on the podcast. But the last episode was definitely an exception to the rule. I'm trying to do something about it by doing nothing about it. And that's not productive for anything. That's not productive at all. And I'm sure I've made YouTube videos. I've been uploading that. I made an unboxing video yesterday. I'm very proud of myself for that. I'm trying to open up new perspectives and try new things and experiment with what I can do. And it's awesome. But in the day, it's like if I keep letting this slide, I'll be in my 40s, 50s. What then? Am I going to be married when I'm 40? I hope so. Please, God, don't let me be alone. But I don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Learn. I've had to learn how to do that. You know, like, I just put out an album a week ago. And so it's still that idea of,
about a week ago.
Yeah, come on. So I'm still over here like, yo, people still want to hear. Like, they're still listening. I told Tripp, I was like, people not tired of our voices yet? Like, that's weird in my brain.
And I was going to say that that's probably, like, your best project.
Bruh, thank you.
The latest, you know, in your career. Yeah. And I'm like...
Yeah, that boy Joe was tripping off of
I only put this in here because I wanted to do a quick shout out to Tadashi. His new album, his new project, it is really, really good, guys. It's Tadashi, T-E-D-A-S-H-I-I. I just really like his music, okay? I wanted to point that out. Andy Mineo is a great artist. This is his podcast, but he has these really cool people who feature on his episodes. And Tadashi was on this episode, and how cool would it it would have been a missed opportunity to not shout him out. You know what I'm saying? Like, check out his new project, his new album, his new record. It's really, really good. That's just all I wanted to say about that.
There's also this element of, like, hip-hop is aging, and it's going to be interesting to see over the next 20 years what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jay hits 60 and 70, and some of these guys who are, you know, if they, you know, Lord willing, they live that long and everything. Yeah. It's like, that's incredible to see a genre age. And, like, mm-hmm. you see, like, some of these OGs, like, doing arena tours still.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, their 60s and 70s, like, Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones? Yeah, sure. You're like, whoa. So.
That right there, guys. Fat Love, if I were to evolve him as an artist, would be hip-hop. I love the music. I love it. But I don't listen to a lot of secular hip-hop or a lot of secular rap or a lot of secular R&B or stuff like that. I do listen to some, but not all of it. And I feel like I would be at a loss, which is why I haven't done anything, if I didn't listen to it all. It's just, I can't relate to some of that. You know, all these songs that are about, like, getting what's yours and having sex and drugs and money and living, and it's not all about that, okay? I get that. I know if I were to take the time to listen to it, there would be a few gems in there where it's not about sex and it's not about the club and it's not about getting that paper and all this stuff. But at the same time, it's like, I've been celibate for a while, okay? Like, I don't care. I mean, I do, okay? Obviously, I'm a dude, I care. But in the meaning of that, like, I don't care, right, you know, too much about that. It's not my priority. Making that paper is, if I had a priority, that would be the closest thing to it, because I can sustain my existence. I can do more. I can invest. I can pay off my debt. I can get a nice place. I can really take care of myself and redo my wardrobe, because, man, do I need some new clothes. But at the same time, it's like, I don't care about getting laid. I don't care about getting in the club and getting, like, girls to twerk on me and getting drinks and getting lit and turning up all night long and all this stuff. And it sounds ridiculous saying that out loud, by the way, because it's just foreign to me. But that's not my goal in life. But at the same time, it's like, I have goals and I'm not reaching them. It's crazy.
Two things I want to hit on, because I know we're running out of time, but you talked about Dr. Dre, and one of the things that was actually very encouraging to me, because we had a kid come to our meet and greet this week, and he was like, hey man, I'm 27, I feel like I'm running out of time.
And I
didn't want to laugh at him. You know, I was like, 27, dog, you're so young, you got, like, well, what was dope was watching the that documentary. What was it called?
The Defiant.
And right there, guys, dude was 27 and he felt like his life was falling out of his control. That's exactly how I felt this last week. Not the whole time, obviously, but, like, there are bursts of moments, there are little moments, and I'm just like, if I'm not recognized as even in the game at 26, what am I doing? This next year, guys, I gotta hustle harder than I've ever hustled before, and I'm terrified. I don't want to give up my time. I don't want to give up my investment. I don't want to take away from what I want to do. I want to watch Netflix, and I want to play games, and I want to kick it with the homies. All right? But I feel like 26, if I want to reach my goals, if I want to lose weight, if I want to make music, if I want to create content, better content, what I'm putting on my YouTube, not that I'm not proud of it, I very, very, very much am proud of what I put on my YouTube, but I want to make better, more professional, more next level content. If I want to do these things and I'm really serious about them, I have to treat them like jobs. I have to literally give myself the time to do it. And every time I take away from that, that's it. I'm literally stealing my time away from me. I'm a thief to myself. And I want to stop that this year. This year. This next 365 days.
And what I realized is, nothing is wasted with God.
Yeah, bro.
All the experiences up to those points when you have your moment for whatever it is you're going to do, they're meant to be there.
Everybody has their own path. Like some people at 10, they know what they want to do with their life. And so because they have that singular focus at 17, they're getting a record deal. Some people don't start really seeing success in what they want to do.
40s, 50s.
You remember the Yvonne Ramen episode?
Literally. I don't want to be 30 or 40 when I hit my stride, when I really hit my moment. You know what I'm saying? There are people who are getting famous when they're 10, 11, 12, 15, 20. Who am I? I think I have the lady who was in Ghost Whisperer. I forget her name. My parents told me I was a distant relative to her. We're technically related. I ain't seen none of that money, so we're not close enough related. But it's crazy that you can try your whole life to achieve something, but you kind of have to hit the right algorithm or get the right moment to really get that. And the way society works and the way social media works is really crazy, right? Because you got people the yodeling Walmart kid getting famous, and somebody makes a music video where there's a dude screaming in a cloud in transparency and getting famous. And you have other people who are making YouTube videos getting famous, or not so much famous as recognized. They're getting paid still. One of my favorite YouTube shows is Good Mythical Morning. Rhett and Link, OGs, they were way back in the day making music videos and skits, and they worked at they had a show on the CW, and they've dabbled in all kinds of media, and then they're now doing their own show, completely independent. They've hired employees to do this show with them, and it's crazy. Everybody defines success their own way. That's what I'm learning as I've gotten older, and I'm trying to evolve and get there.
We're not willing to do it more and more. What I'm learning from this whole conversation is that I think the key to aging gracefully is, because I think ambition is good, but the key to aging gracefully is contentment and humility.
Gratitude.
It's being grateful for, and then having to, because that's what you explained about Vince Staples and Vince Staples. Vince Carter, in your illustration, there was a humility to be like, hey, bro, I'm not going to try to keep up with you. And there was a contentment for this is the role I play now. Mm-hmm. And I think if you could get those two things while not sacrificing, and because I think it's good, man, and I think that in your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, there's still so much you can do to impact the people around you, the world. And I think it's good to work and continue to work and keep mastering and honing your craft all the way till you can't. Yo, Picasso at 90 was still going hard, pumping out works and works and works. I think that is so admirable. But I think contentment and humility is the key to aging gracefully. And if we have both, man, turning 30, turning 40, turning 50 is going to be a delight. You, what you think?
That is kind of true, actually. And I don't have a lot of older people I talk to. I don't know a lot of older people. But from what I've learned, just being content with what you have and continuing to evolve, roll with the punches, essentially, is key, man. It's key. And there are going to be highlights that you love, and there are going to be low points that you try not to think about. You kind of throw it in the back of your mind. But at the same time, it's all part of the journey. It's all part of the ride. I am trying to open my perspectives. I've noticed as I've gotten older, I've been very closed to the ideas of change because they're not the ideas of change that I've always wanted to make, or they're not kind of the ideas of change where I was willing to try something new. And that could be something as simple as my friend Jennifer, when I met her, one of the first things we did as friends when we hung out was we went to a shooting range and we shot a gun for the first time. It was awesome. It was really fun, but I never saw myself doing that. I've talked about it plenty of times. Oh, yeah, I'd love to shoot a gun. I'd love to see what that's like and experience that. And then I never followed through. I never followed through. And she is such an outgoing, strong, independent woman, boss bitch. She does what she wants. And I love that. I love that. That's amazing. She's one of just like the best friend I've had in the last few years. Like literally anything she wants to do, nothing can stop her. And I love that mentality. I love that mindset. And it's freeing because she does what she wants. She's been across the world. She's been to Ireland and she's been to Europe and she's been to Hawaii and she's been to all these places and she's explored. And now she's telling me she wants to explore what's in our country. She wants to go to Arkansas and Tennessee and Oklahoma, and she wants to really explore this country. And I'm like, you are so inspiring. Like, the way she lives her life, it's just like, I don't have to, I feel such a square compared to her, because I had to literally open up to her about a lot of stuff. And it's crazy to see the perspectives, because she grew up right down the road from me in Excelsior Springs, right? I grew up in Liberty, a little suburb of Kansas City. And it's like, we were so close, but yet we lived such different lives. And we never once knew each other existed until I had my security job. That was like half a decade ago at this point, almost. It's crazy. And it's such a fun and wild experience being her friend. And it's just, I love every minute of our interactions. I do. I love every minute of our interactions. There's never a moment that we've been together that I have not enjoyed. Because life is so much better when you're with somebody who's free and open and promotes positivity and joy and doesn't want you to live anything less than your best life. And that's what she's doing. She's living her best life. Nothing is slowing her down. At least nothing that she's let me see. And that's just amazing. And that's how I want to live my life. I want to say, I got the vacation time. I'm going on a cruise next year. We're doing it. Be there or be square. I've already put the money down. And if I got to go on a cruise by myself, damn it, I'm going to do it. Because I'm tired of letting life just sit there and exist with me not in the picture. It's just like, it's going to go on with or without you. You will die one day. And every year that you let pass is another year. You may have an issue come up where you can't do it, or you can't experience it, or you can't make it happen. I could walk outside tomorrow, like I said earlier, and get hit by a car. Kaput. My life is over. What have I done with it? Nothing. I'm not going to be remembered for anything I've done in the 26 years to anybody important. You think somebody's going to stumble upon my poetry and I'm going to be in a book somewhere for the rest of my life with some poetry that they find? More than likely, and this is real talk, the poetry that means a lot to me, the deep, deep emotional poetry I wrote in high school about my feelings when I was actually doing something about processing that, it's probably going to get thrown in the trash, burned, ripped, destroyed in some capacity in a garbage landfill somewhere. Nobody's going to hear that, see that, experience that. There won't be a movie about my life. It's far too insignificant. And there's not enough context to give any kind of a good story. But that's okay, because I'm working towards that now. And if I die tomorrow, I'll know that I tried. And God, please let me into the gates of heaven, because I don't want to go to the alternative.
Earlier was good about... What you said just now was mediocre. Yeah, it was kind of fortune cookie. But, you said shame. But you spoke about shame earlier. And everything you're saying, I'm just thinking through the shame that people feel, man, when it comes to getting older. Because, bruh, when you look back and go, oh, this is the last time I'll be in my 20s, there is no going back. It's a rude awakening. And then you fast forward a few years, and for the ones that are unfortunate enough that maybe they have to have this lifestyle where you go, okay, now I've hit this age, but there's no one here. I've outlived them all. That was my uncle. I talked to him.
And that's the thing, man. Like, I understand that life is going to change. And I'm going to, and this is my opinion, in 2019, 26-year-old Zach, if you listen to this in the future, Zach, this is your mindset. I don't want to live past 60. I want to die at midnight on the last day of my 59th year. Like, real talk. This is going to change when I'm older. But right now, I don't see a point living that long. I'm gonna have muscle problems or sore. I could be senile. I can't even remember half of my passwords. I have to change them constantly. I don't want to know what it's like to get old. When I am 60, I'll probably may or may not have been married. Still will be married, hopefully. Sharing my life with the woman that I have deeply fallen in love with and invest with, and finally have somebody who I can open up to and share my innermost darkest thoughts and fears and vulnerabilities. But 26-year-old Zach is still very much afraid of a lot of things. One of those is getting old. Another one's being alone. If you combine the two of those, being old and alone sounds awful. I don't want to be some bitter old man who misses my chance at getting into heaven because I was so mad at the world for the way things turned out for me. Again, this opinion is going to change when I'm older, but there's a lot of stuff that I can't understand it, and it frustrates me. Life is one of those things. How come I'm 26, God, and there's nobody who thinks I'm cute or attractive or is interested? How come I'm 26 and I'm working a job that I'm terrified that if I lose, I'll lose everything? Why am I 26 and I have relationships with people who I think are my closest friends, but I'm afraid of them? Why am I 26 and I don't know how to provide the most basic meals for myself? And more so, why am I 26 and living life the way that I have been? Why didn't you make me make better choices? Right, I forgot. Free will. We decide our path, and that's because of us where we are. Of course, forgot about that part. It's just, I'm young, I'm naive, I get that. But I'm trying so hard to understand. And I'm trying so hard to grow and evolve, but it feels like my motivation is just being sucked right out of me. Anytime I think I should do that, and I stand up and I start to do it, it's like my feet are in concrete all of a sudden. I don't need Adderall or help or any sort of assistance. Because if I can't do it on my own, then I didn't do it on my own. And then I feel like I'm handicapping somebody else by making them help me. And that's where I'm at right now.
I had a friend, I'll wrap with this. I know we gotta close it up. We could talk about this forever, but I had a friend tell me, like, man, I really hope that I don't miss life wishing for what's ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this also becomes a point in time when you could miss life thinking about what's behind you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The dudes from Napoleon.
Yeah, bro.
And yes, right?
Yes.
And so the like what you're saying, I think the key piece here, and this is what I'm trying to work on and understand, is like gratitude in this present moment.
Yeah, bro.
Grateful for what I have right now, because yo, isn't it so crazy when you're out of the season you're in, you always wish you had that, mm-hmm. or you're looking forward. But it's like I look forward to having kids. I look forward to, and sometimes when people have kids, they're like, I can't wait till these kids are older, because then
they can get out of the house.
And then when they get older, they're like, I just wish they were little kids again, those little moments.
Yeah,
and so there's always this grass is greener situation, and you know, I think what you're talking about, contentment and gratitude, is like a major key.
Yeah.
To appreciating it. So
I'm grateful to be here right now with both of y'all and everybody else talking about this right now at this very age.
1988.
Right now. 1988. Made a choice to
hit, bro. And there you have it, guys. That was the end of the podcast. Closing thoughts. It's just like the grass is greener situation, but he just said it's always going to be there. I don't want kids. I can't take care of myself. How am I going to take care of a kid? And I mean that in a different sense. I can't take care of myself, but how am I going to take care of a kid? That terrifies me. That terrifies me. My sister's younger than me and has a kid. That's crazy. I don't know, guys. I will probably have a kid one day. Okay, I'm not going to lie. All right, my dad always told me he wanted me to have a kid because I'm the last blood relative, because he's my blood father, right? I have three half-brothers. He wanted me to carry on my name. He's like, you have to get married, you have to have a kid, etc. All these things. And I'm just like, nah, man. If I have a kid, that takes away from me. Then I have to commit to that because it's a responsibility. And that's a responsibility you have to take seriously, right? Like, that's your own flesh and blood. You gotta nurture it. And you gotta make sure it doesn't grow up with the same insecurities you had. You gotta make sure he grows up, or he or she grows up with all the kind of love and stuff that you wanted as a kid. You know? And maybe some people don't relate to that. Me personally, I had a lot of things I wanted or needed from my parents that I did not get. And as an adult, I'm just like, I'm terrified that I'll be a bad father, that I'll be a bad parent, that they'll grow up just hating me because I put them in an unhealthy environment, or I put them in an unhealthy mindset, or I messed them up, or I failed as a parent. And that's a natural fear, right? That's a normal thing to feel, but I haven't met my wife yet. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know who I'm going to have a kid with. I don't know who she is. And maybe she's the greatest thing on the earth. She's my other half, the yin to my yang, you know? All the things I have problems with, she's perfect at. And we just fit well. And my kid can lean on us as a supportive figure and can look up to us and can trust us and all these things. And maybe I'll be the best parent on the planet, right? Right, but who knows? I'm still terrified. I'm lying to myself, saying every day that I don't want kids, I don't want kids, I don't want kids. Because I don't. Not because I don't want a kid, just because I don't know if I can take on that level of responsibility. You know? That's a very serious conversation to have with somebody, right? But I digress. Getting older? It's going to happen, guys. It's literally, it's a work in progress. And that's how I'm going to end the podcast, guys. Thank you so much for listening to Fat Love Talk this week. I have more coming out the pipeline. I got some more gaming episodes coming out soon, so stay tuned for those. But until then, guys, I'm going to find 1988, which is the list. This is the single he was talking about, and we're going to go ahead and listen to it and close with that, guys. Take care, guys, and you guys have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. If this made a difference to you, you can find me on my social media, Snapchat, Fat Love, PHATLOVE, Instagram, Twitter, FatLove145, and then my YouTube channel, if you want to find that, is Alpha Phenomenon Gaming. Just look for the podcast symbol on my profile pic, and you'll find that real simple. Till then, guys, take care, mad love, and I will see you guys on the next episode, the 50th episode coming up of Fat Love Talk.
Keep going, and one day you're going on without me, time. Time. Come back.